Hey guys, happy Thursday.
Hey.
This is day number two this week of you and I doing family chat together.
Really?
Not in a row, just the second day. Because we started the week out with mayonnaise. So we'll see what happens today, guys.
Am I the only one, though, that like all of lunch plus like throughout the week, it just kind of blends together.
A little bit.
Like, I'm like, that could have been this month.
Yeah.
That could have been this week. I don't know.
Yeah. So right now, comment, tell us who you are, where you're watching from. Welcome to Lunch Plus. Brother Brian is going to be here today.
Yeah.
And today we're going to be talking about why do people fall down when getting prayed for. Also, please ignore the Canada that just came out of my
down.
Mouth.
Fall down?
I don't know what that was. That wasn't Canada. Marky, so, okay, for those of you who don't know, my name is Barrett. This is Marky.
Hello.
And originally, though we are currently based and planted here in North Carolina, originally Marky and I have roots from the north. I know.
What? I bet you couldn't tell.
Couldn't tell. So sorry. But so we have roots from the north. And this morning, we were trying to explain, we're from Maine originally, and we were trying to explain to Pastor Zach what a Maine accent sounds like. And we found a minute-long video with this guy explaining Maine-isms. And if you hear Canada or Maine come out of our mouth today, it's because we've been laughing about it the whole time. So if our tone shifts, I'm so sorry.
The accuracy of this video is like things that my family has said for generations.
Yeah. Yeah, bub.
Like that. Like generations. Like my great-grandmother, like, it's basically impersonating her. Like, it's amazing. So, I was laughing so hard.
Pastor Cole says, so sorry. What's up with that, Barrett? There it is. That's it right there. Joni says, it's been so long since I've last seen you both. Haha. And then Joni says, fall down. Just different spelling.
I don't
like
even
salt.
Know what that was, though, that came out. The full. It was kind of New Jersey.
Full?
New York.
Patridge hunting. I don't know. We'll see what happens.
This video said this one thing that I didn't even know was a thing in Maine until it said it. But one thing they'll say is, can you say it? You said it better. Than
I don't remember.
The hard telling not knowing?
Hard telling not knowing.
Hard telling not knowing.
Hard telling not knowing.
And I was like, I asked Abby, I'm like, have you ever heard that? And she was like, no. But I've heard it so much.
It literally just means, I don't know. Hard telling, not knowing.
Or like, who knows?
Yeah.
Who knows?
Pastor Zach and Abby, like, we'd say it and they're like, what does that mean? We're like, hard telling, not knowing. Hard telling.
Where is Kevin Nowicki? I feel like.
That's true.
Because he's from Vermont, I believe, originally.
Nowicki and Corey, get in the chat.
Corey!
We need you both.
Yes, Corey. Corey still has that New England accent for sure, though, like very much.
Which accent to you is the most distinct? Like the one that like you immediately start to try and like verbalize. Like for me, it was a Southern accent until I came here. And now it's like now the Canadian.
The Southern accent to me was like mythical.
Yeah.
It was like this amazing, mysterious, awesome thing that I loved so much and like wished that I could be around and hear.
And then we got the rights.
Yeah, and then I got down here and I was like, oh, they don't like me down here. Oh, no.
That's not the rights. That's
not the rights. Not the rights. Just the South. I didn't know that. I was like so excited to be in the South, and then it was like, oh no.
They do like her though. The South, the North, we all get along. This is the second time this week that it's ended up being North versus South. Thanks,
Duke. Not on purpose.
Okay. Let's see. Priscilla says Scottish. Look at Corey. He says, "Hey, what?"
How to know that someone is from the North?
Hey, what?
What?
Yeah.
Huh?
Huh? Bub? Hey, bub? Corey, we showed Pastor Zach and Abby a video today on how Mainers talk. So we're probably going to have to send it to you later so that you can confirm how accurate it is.
And
it was a lot.
I'm sure he's going to be like, I'm not from Maine. I'm from New Hampshire.
Yeah, we don't even talk to those people up there.
It's similar, though. If
Corey's got himself a northern accent.
The way he says, I dear, that is
true.
My family says, I dear, and they're from Maine. So it's basically the same thing.
This is what happens. The more northern you get, the more the R's become just whatever in words. You either add them or take them away. There's no rhyme or reason. It just kind of happens.
Yeah. To make fun of myself, I genuinely don't know how to say the alternate word for cinema.
Theater.
The place you go see a movie. My whole life, I have been saying theater with an extra R.
Yeah.
I haven't been able to say it. I think we've talked about this on Family Chat before, but I don't know how to say it any way other. It doesn't sound natural, like theater.
But in all fairness, as you get more south, they then add an R in the word wash, and it's wash your clothes, and that's also not there.
Yeah.
So theater and wash are it theater yeah. and wash are like it's the
like
same.
Idea. It's idea.
Yeah.
Pastor Zach says, this is going to
here we go.
This is going to probably surprise you, okay? Pastor Zach said, is it true, yes, ma'am, or no, sir? Specifically, the sir part is frowned upon up north.
Yes.
I have never once in my entire life said yes, sir, or yes, ma'am to my parents.
If you guys would like to know, actually, that is how, that's one of the things that the Lord used to bring me to North Carolina. I'm not even joking. Was we did a tent meeting with Brother Ted Shuttlesworth Jr. did a tent meeting in Albemarle. I came with him in his ministry, and I helped lead the kids' crusade. Abby was actually a part of it. It's so cute. There are cute little pictures of her and little Rachel. This story isn't about Abby. There is a little girl that was there who was seven, six at the time. And she was this so cute little southern girl with this perfect blonde bob. And she just went around, yes, ma'am, yes, ma'am. Oh, yes, ma'am, yes, sir, yes, ma'am. And it marked me. I was oh my gosh, look at these children. Look at the manners and the respect and the honor that they talk to people with. And I went back to Maine, and it marked me, because I would say Canadian version of this is saying the word pardon. Canadians will say pardon a good bit, and I say that. So I went back to my job after being down here, and I'm like, that sounds so respectful. I'm going to say it to my customers that come in the store. So I'd be like, thank you so much, sir. Thank you so much, ma'am. I got yelled at. I had customers legit get upset with me because of how disrespectful it is up there, because they feel like you're talking to an old person. So when I would say, yes, ma'am, they're like, I'm not old. Don't talk to me that way.
Yeah. Down here, I get it. I think it's a sign of respect, and I use it now because it is genuinely respectful. But up there, it's not that they don't want respect, they do, but up there, it's seen as patronizing.
Yes.
It's seen as you're being,
you're talking down to them.
You're talking down to them. Or you're all fancy, and I'm fancy pants, and mm-hmm. I think I'm all that. It's seen as, high and mighty, kind of. I think. Now, if someone from the North wants to correct me, go ahead. They like manners, but this one isn't seen as respectful. It's actually seen as disrespectful, which is really interesting.
Gerald says, I've experienced it here. I'm not old. Gerald, I literally just almost called you sir just talking back to you. I'm so sorry. It started to come out. I was literally about to be like, sir, I'm so sorry. And I'm like, no, he doesn't like it. Don't say it.
Pardon.
Beg pardon? What? Gerald says, I work. I'm not a sir. Versus Fallon, who says, this is so crazy to me. Yeah. So imagine the amount of adapting that Marky and I had to do in order to not be kicked out by the South.
It was a lot.
But I'm thankful for it. You know what? You know what? It's because I know what I'm about to do. For those of you from the South, I need to phrase this different. So a version of adapting is like up north in New Hampshire, there's a certain town. Down here, it's called Concord.
Oh.
Up north, it's called Concord. And I just chose when I got here, I'm going to say every word Southern. I'm going to name all the names Southern. So where I've yielded and Marky is still being delivered is I'll say.
There's another one.
I know.
It's the mountain range.
I know. That's where I'm going.
That one. I am not saying Appalachian. It's Appalachian. Okay, guys.
That's how we grew up. Up north, it's Appalachian Trail. Appalachian. Go to Appalachia.
Appalachia. Like, what do you say? Appalachia?
That's so I yielded so fast. And Marky would stand her ground.
I have feelings on it.
And she'd lurk. She'd lurk. Good. I've watched Maine stuff today. She'd lurk. So Marky would look to me and be like, what do we call it? I'm like, down here, it's Appalachian. It's Appalachia.
She refused to support me because she was like every man for himself. Like, if I get involved in this, I'm going down. So you're going to go down alone.
It's why Pastor Nicole has told me I'm no longer from the North. I've yielded.
I think that I have adapted and yielded with everything except for this. Like, except for the mountain range. Like, literally.
Matthew Allman says, Siri even says Concord. I wonder if Siri's from the North. No, Siri's from California?
I don't know.
Is that where Siri's from? That would make sense.
I'm not sure, but she does say things kind of weird sometimes.
Here's my question for the next, 3 minutes. What word do you know that you say weird, but it's just part of who you are now?
That's a good question.
Like you're not going to change. So, for Abby, it's Tuesday. Tuesday. She turned around to see what word I was going to throw out. And then she grinned a little bit. So Tuesday is Abby's. Feel free to think of when I say weird. I have everybody else's. What one? Elementary?
It's the words too that you say where it's like technically correct, but like no one says it like that.
Elementary.
Like elementary. Train.
Not train.
Like she you say I the do. T without a ch, like a CH sound.
Because
like,
I had to teach it.
Yeah.
And so to kids you've got to teach TR says tur, not chur. So train.
Train.
those to trains. Pastor Zach's, I think one of his would be like stupid. Stupid. There's like a slight shush in there, like stupid.
Like a Y sound?
Yeah, a little bit. Little bit. We've already said yours was theater.
I don't know how to say it.
I used to get made fun of every time we do what's right. Elementary? Is that to say it right?
Elementary.
I would say elementary every time.
There's this CH again though you don't want to say.
I don't.
Elementary.
Elementary. I don't know. Like that word in general, I'm just like, what's right little kid school? I don't know.
I think it was Miss Terry said aunt or aunt. But I say aunt. Which is apparently weird.
I called you Auntie Marky, and your nieces corrected me the other day. For sure did. I was like, Auntie Marky. They're like, no. Auntie Marky. Or Aunt Marky.
Auntie Marky. Sure. Yeah.
Lisa says the way she pronounces guitar, I want to know how you say it.
Guitar.
Pastor Danielle says that she says crown for crayon. Yeah. You say crown? Yeah. Pastor Danielle.
Really?
Interesting. Wow. And then Fallon says, I have no idea if I have a word that I say weird. Someone tell me if I do. Guys, welcome to listening to each other.
I'll be listening.
Hannah, you say crown too? Instead of crayon?
I didn't know this was a thing.
Crown? I need that crown over there. Crown?
Crown.
Wow. Miss Sherry's, who says that word right, Miss Sherry? I don't think anybody else. Pastor Zach, I don't know if you say that word right. Pastor Zach's hand like shot right up like
do
I
know,
do.
Do you know how to say it?
Worcestershire sauce?
Worcestershire?
Worcestershire? Is it Worcestershire?
I don't
Worcestershire?
Know. But if anyone could say it, I feel like it would be you.
Well, the I-R-E is like ire. Should be ire. So Worcestershire? Worcestershire? Whatever.
Well, and for those who don't know, it's not because Barrett's from the north that I'm like, oh, she speaks so amazing. It's because you literally
studied words.
You studied grammar and stuff like that. So
Seth said the test is how people say Albemarle. It's true. Albemarle is a surefire way that they're not from here. Not from here at all. Albemarle.
Like they'll skip the Albemarle. First L. Like
yeah.
Albemarle?
Albemarle.
Albemarle.
It's like a slight L. It's not Albemarle.
Yeah.
Okay, guys, this has been the North talking to the South right now, except we've relocated, we've repotted, so we're technically one of you. We love you.
We're trying.
Yeah, we're trying. That Appalachia. It's pretty cool.
No.
So we're going to hand it over to Abby right now. It's not Tuesday, but it's Thursday, and she's going to take us through declarations. Then we're going to hop into why do people fall down when getting prayed for. It's going to be awesome. So take the time, share the broadcast. Gerald, you're our 100th commenter. You can claim your gift by going to whatsright.com/gift. Skylar just got here. That's probably the Lord, because wow, would family chat have been different with Skylar?
He would have been stirring the pot.
That's true. That was the Lord. So Skylar, way to be led with when you joined. Okay, over to you, Abby. Hi, everyone, and welcome to Declarations. Let's declare the word of God over our lives. Are you ready? Yes? Okay, great. Let's go on to our first one of the day. And say this out loud with me. Connect your faith with this as if this is the first time you're saying it. And if it is the first time you're saying it, congratulations. Welcome. We're glad to have you here. And make sure to subscribe if you haven't so that we can say hi to you more often. All right, say this out loud with me. We walk in the fullness of faith, hope, and love. We win souls. We love righteousness, hate sin, walk in holiness, and are anointed by God. If you will take it, this is who you are. Grab a hold of it fresh. This is my identity. This is who I am. This is who God says that I am. All right, next one. This is our year of the fire. Amen. Amen. This is our year of the fire. This is our day of the fire. Today is your day of the fire. Well, today I'm so excited. We talked yesterday about how to receive when we're in a prayer line, how to properly receive. And Pastor talked about how it's not by coming up trying to work to earn anything. It's literally just yielding to the Lord. It's just being in a reception mode. It was a wonderful teaching. So if you missed it, definitely go back to yesterday's message and listen to it, because I can almost guarantee there is something in there for all of us to learn or hear again. And then today, we're continuing with that topic of receiving during prayer. We're talking about why do people fall out when they get prayer? How does that work? Is it biblical? Is it right? When is it right? Are there times where it's not? All of that we're talking about today is going to be a really, really good topic. So if you haven't already, this is definitely one that people I've heard have had a lot of questions about. I'm even excited to hear about it today. It's going to be really, really awesome. So make sure to share this one. This is going to be a really, really good one. So you can go down below the video, and there should be like a little arrow button. It's going one of these ways. I don't know which one. And just click on that. It says share. And you can copy the link. You can post it to your Facebook, to your X account. You can copy it and paste it on your text and text it out to your friends and family. Wherever you can put a link, that's where you can put it. So please share this broadcast. Also, like it and subscribe to this channel if you haven't already. Also, just another quick tip that we give people is there is a little bell button down there. No, it's not the Taco Bell, but it is still a very important bell. if you click this, it'll notify you every single time that we go live. That way you're not having to scour through YouTube trying to remember the name of the channel or anything like that. It'll just pop up a happy little notification on your phone. So all you have to do is just click that notification. It'll bring you right here to these broadcasts anytime you want, every time we go live. So we would love for you to do that because that'll help you out for sure. And we'll see you in just a moment on What's the Word.
Hello, everybody. I am not Pastor Brian, but Pastor Brian is on the way. He will be in shortly, and this is a broadcast you don't want to miss. This is actually a topic that as a pastor, since I was like, 21, 22 years old, people have asked me on and off over the years, what does this mean? Is this biblical? All of those kinds of questions. So this is going to be an awesome broadcast that you don't want to miss. But before we get into that, let's put in the comments who you are, where you're watching from. Let's see, we have Lisa Lamb. She says, hello from Indy. Gerald says, he's doing something else. Gerald says, make me more receptive, Lord. Amen. Johnny, he's on watching from Tuckertown. Seth said, howdy y'all from the base. Did I say that in my Beth Seth voice? Gerald said, yep. And then he's saying, hello. I believe there's some emojis not loading up in there. Chrissy says, hi, Pastor Zach. Hello, Miss Chrissy. So good to see you today. Priscilla said, hey, from right in front of you. So technically, I'm turned this way. Oh, almost dropped the word. I'm turned this way, but she's technically right there, like literally right in front. Gerald says, hey, from High Rock Lake. Hannah says, hi, from Harrisburg. We have Sydney on, says, hi, from Salisbury. Samantha says, hi. And then you have Jennifer, she's saying, hello, hello. And then have Sydney saying, hi, from Salisbury. It is going to be a great day. Right now is going to be, today is the greatest you've ever been in the kingdom, but it's also the least you've ever been. So tomorrow there's a greater measure just for you, and I'm so excited. We have Pastor Nicole on. She says, hello from Pastor Nicole and Rachel. She didn't say Pastor Nicole, but I am not saying her name without putting Pastor in front of it, or sister, or Pastor Mama, or something along those lines. Seth said, yeah, I got it in my phone. Like, I've shortened it at this point. I was just like, Mama, and then it's like Mama Nicole or Dad Wright, and that it's a bunch of it in my phone. Skylar is waving, saying hello. And then you have my wife saying, hey, watching from Albemarle, excited for this awesome word. Amen. So, well, I did want to go over a little bit of stuff from yesterday as we're getting ready, because this is going to feed in yesterday's topic. Is actually going to feed into a lot today, and you're going to kind of see some similarities here in just a little bit. But what I wanted to talk to you about is something that Brother Bynes said yesterday as I was listening to it, just stuck out. And he was talking about when you go up to the altar and you're getting ready to see, remember what he said yesterday? He goes, when you're in your service, you're doing one of two things. You're either giving or you're receiving. And a lot of times we go up to the altar, and you remember he gave the story about that him and Barrett both had like this vision, and they prayed over into the meeting, and they seen like a Holy Ghost explosion that was about to take place. And they got the meeting happened, and it was just kind of like, this is good, but it wasn't what was supposed to take place. And do you remember the example that Brother Brian gave? He said that as he was ministering, he noticed every single person was praying in the Spirit, praying in tongues. And it was like, he didn't use this example, but it was like there was a giving and trying to give, but there was no receiving. So as he was saying that this morning, this is what it kind of reminded me of. Think about it like this. It just helped me understand that topic a little bit better. Think about a water hose. It is meant to receive on one end and then give on the other, right? So it's receiving out of this end, it flows through, and it begins to just spit out water on the other end. And I was sitting there and I was praying this morning, and the Lord has showed me this before in my spirit, but it was more clear yesterday, or excuse me, this morning, than I had really ever seen it. He said, picture that water hose hooked up to two outputs. And you have this water hose here, and you turn the spigot on, and it starts flowing water. But on this side, you do the same thing. It's water in the mill, and nothing is going nowhere. There's going to be an explosion. Something's going to break. And just as that was talking about that, and the Lord showed me, he goes, that's the reason you need to yield. Because there's a flow that I have for you that is great and it is needed. But if you don't receive that, there's literally all of that power, all of the anointing, all the answer that you need, and it is stalemated, and you cannot receive it because there's a block from it. We actually, and just to show you an example about this, when we lived in Moorhead, we had a deep water well, and we had to have, it was like it went out and oh my goodness, it was not fun. We, like, people think, what is that stuff called? PVC pipe. And it was only like an inch and a half, inch and a half thick in diameter. And you're thinking, that's not that heavy. Yes, it is. We started pulling that thing up and pulling it up and pulling it up and pulling it up. We finally got to the top and realized that the deep water well, there was like a pump. Basically, it's a sump pump, but it's for deep water, so it's very strong. It was not strong enough anymore because there was a piece missing to pull the water up from the well. So we go, okay, we got to have water. We have four kids. We need some kind of water. So I went and talked with my neighbor, and he goes, look, this is what we're going to do. I want you to take your end of the spigot, and I want you to put it up in there. And he goes, but don't turn, basically, turn it on just enough. Or no, I'm sorry. He says, don't turn it on so no water will flow out of it. And I was like, okay. He says, and I want you to go to my house, plug that end up, and what we're going to do, we're going to turn that on because I plugged it into a different pump that pushed it all through the water, or pushed the water into the house. And he goes, I want you to turn it on full blast. So I was like, okay. So I did that for a couple of days, and we were able to have the flow coming in through that spigot, but we was able to receive. Had I would have turned my spigot on, it would have cut the flow from that water source that I needed into the house off, and I would not have the supply of water that I needed. So that have both of them been on, I would have missed what I needed in that moment. And that's the importance of yielding. I was able to have a supply because it was going to take like almost a week for that pump to come in. So there would have been a week with no water. So now think about that. Had I not have yielded to that, or if I would have turned that spigot on, that what I needed would have been delayed and I wouldn't have been able to receive it for a week. And you have six people in a house with no water. If you don't have six people in a house, you realize clothes get dirty quickly. Well, you have to have water in order to wash clothes. Well, you need to be able to cook. What's the main ingredient in most things that you cook? Water to clean the dishes. Then you have all these other different needs for water, for drinking, from all of this other kind of stuff. And you're just like, oh my goodness, you see the importance of it. But in that moment, that spigot yielded, and I was and the house, in this case, was able to receive that flow. So that's what you see is yesterday, as Brother Brian was talking about, when you're in that yielding process, that you are receiving life. But if you're trying to give it, or you're trying to impart something into someone else, or you're up there trying to work for it, you're actually blocking that flow. That was such a great point yesterday. And I was so, like, just listening to that, I've been meditating on that all morning. And just listening to what the Lord was saying, and listening to what he was saying through Brother Brian about how when you get up to that altar and you are getting ready to receive, nothing else in that moment matters. You just go up there in humility and go, Lord, this is one of the things that I do. I go, Lord, there's no trying that I can do anymore. Because this is what I tell myself. Lord, when I get up here and I get into this place of receiving, Lord, when he touches me or she touches me and she prays for me in the name of Jesus or whatever it is, I only thing I'm thinking about is, Lord, I know that when you touch me, I got my answer. I receive my answer, and nothing else in that moment matters. Not what's maybe happening, what could be happening. No, I just receive because I know that his hands are laid on me. There is a flow, and it's coming into me. And the minute that, in Jesus' name, hands are laid on me, I have received what I've been believing God for in that moment. Whatever the case may be, I receive it in that moment. Oh, I'm just so excited what the Lord is wanting to do. Okay. Pastor just told me to tell y'all this, that we will start the topic about being slain in the spirit in just a minute. He's got a couple more things that he's buttoning up, and then we'll get on the broadcast. Then we'll kind of stop, and then Pastor will introduce that topic, and we'll go from there. So what did y'all, like, obviously we can't just go through there, but put some hands up in the comments if yesterday was something that you needed, and you seen how, and maybe you seen that how there were some issues, there were some things that I was blocking from me being able to receive the fullness of what was being imparted to me in services or in receiving lines and that kind of stuff, if that kind of stuff. If that was you, go ahead and put some hands up in the comment and say, hey, the Lord showed me some things, and I've made those corrections, and now I'm receiving better. We already got some hands coming up. Miss Chrissy said, don't block the flow, just yield. Yes, amen. We got some different hands going up. Sometimes we probably shouldn't put hands up because it goes a little bit slower on our end. Marky said, yes, it was really helpful. Amen. We have Samantha, she's putting hands up. Lisa's putting hands up. Gerald's putting hands up. Emily, Sydney. Emily said, yes, I feel like I need to go back to square one on so many things. I understand, especially as I'm beginning to grow more in the Lord, I start realizing maybe there's some foundational things I need to check. Jennifer put her hands up. There's so many hands going up in the comments. And even that right there shows that there's a yielding that's taking place and you're receiving the word, and it is so awesome to watch how the Lord is coming in and he's shifting and he's changing things so that we can receive the fullness of what the Lord has for us and what he's going to do. Gerald says, I listened backstage. He was backstage, I guess, at his job. He sets up some stuff, and now he's listening to some stuff. Is there any testimonies that, as I'm talking, you can kind of put this in? Is there any, like, certain breakthrough or testimonies that took place from yesterday that you can say, hey, this was an exact moment that I know I've done this, but now I know how to receive in that moment? Do you have any that you could share possibly? If not, it's okay. I know that's a lot to put in there. But do you see how the importance of yielding, if I'm not yielding, that I will literally cut off the flow of exactly what it has for me, or I won't be able to get into the flow? It reminds me a lot of those yielding signs. As I'm going up to a place, I just yield and I get into the flow of the rest of the traffic. I don't dictate the pace. I just step into it and I flow from there. No, I don't. I'm good. They was typing a message. Do I want someone? You know, I'm good. Some of the other stuff. Let's see what Gerald said. Some of the other stuff, like free of all in prayer for some churches. I'm not exactly sure what you mean there. But there's so many things that I've learned about yielding. And one of the things, as pastor was ministering on that, just I was asking the Lord, like, Lord, I've been able to yield to you okay, but what is a way, where is a place that I can yield to you more and go higher, go to different levels, and start receiving more? And one of the things that I was just meditating on what pastor said yesterday is that be willing to give up everything that you know. Be willing to just lay it all down on the altar. Like, one of the ones that really showed me this the most is Paul. Like, you start looking at some of the stuff that Paul had. Like, he was a Pharisee of the Pharisee. Then you start reading all the stuff that Paul knew. Like, Holy Spirit had Paul write this, right? When it came to the law, I was zealous, and he said this, I didn't break any of it. So you think this is Paul, or at the time Saul, he's like, I didn't break any of the law. And Holy Spirit allowed him to write that. Holy Spirit can't lie, so it was true. So then you see this, but after Paul did all this, he went and after he was saved, after he was saved, he went and got some training done, and there were some years that he took, and he laid down the gospel, all the knowledge, all the stuff that he knew, that he thought he knew, all of that. He went and yielded and submitted it. And basically, he took this, let's say this, all that Paul knew, and he laid it at the feet of the disciples and said, teach me. I like basically act as if I know nothing, because the God, I don't want to preach the gospel in vain. I don't want to preach the gospel and it be a wrong gospel. And he yielded everything that he knew over to the apostles, and he sat under their ministry. And this was not a dumb man. He was not a novice in the knowledge of the Lord, but he was so willing to yield himself over to the direction of them and sit under their teaching, be taught, be molded, and be shaped. And he turned into the Apostle Paul that we knew, all because he humbled himself and he yielded. Let's see some of the comments here. Even Pastor Brian said, be willing to give up everything you think you know. Amen. I've learned that there's more that I think I know that I don't know the longer that I'm around Pastor. Amen. Let's see. Sydney said this, yesterday finishing up prayer was so different. Yielding was apparently not as clear to me as I thought. Putting it into action yesterday was a new level of receiving. Amen. That's a level that you'll be operating at from now on. Glory be to God. Priscilla said this, I used to be praying in line while waiting for prayer. Now I see just be yielded and stay there. Just receive. Yes. Amen. James said this, the Lord showed me that I'm mostly in give mode every time that I go up and the line and I get revelation. I'm applying that and being a yielded vessel. Amen. Just sit back and receive. Do you see how just, even just some of the testimony so far, we went higher, we went higher, we went higher, higher, we went higher. Then we see, Pastor Brian said, maybe, just maybe, we don't actually know what we think we do. Correct? Yes. there was a man of God, I forget his name, but there was a time he put up a big whiteboard, and he drew a circle, and he says, now, picture this. He goes, this is everything that you could ever possibly know about God. Basically, he says, if you could put everything that you know about God in this circle, he goes, he told somebody, he goes, where would you say your level of knowledge is about God? And then you had some who was like, oh, I know this much about God. So he let them circle it, and he goes, what if something that somebody's teaching is, and then, so it was the circle, right? So we'll do it like this. Picture this being the circle, right? And they put like the line here that they knew this much about God. And he goes, what if what you don't know about God, they do know about God, but it's somewhere up here you haven't explored yet. But you're saying that that's not it because it's not in this that you know, but yet there's all this that you've never heard of, never seen. And he goes, think of the pride that you have that you think all that you need to know about God is in this smaller little piece right there. And when I saw that, I had to repent. I was like, Lord, I repent for all the times that you were trying to get something to me. But through my pride, I would go, no, I know better than that. Because I thought somebody, I was in constant fear that someone was trying to deceive me into believing a false doctrine instead of just trusting the fellowship and receiving exactly what the Lord had for me. Amen. Gloria Haywood, and I'm not going to try to pronounce the rest of that, says, yes, I would pray asking that I receive what God has for. And sometimes that can turn into overthinking, and all I had to do was yield. Like, think about these statements. All that I had to do was yield. But and I know we said this yesterday on the broadcast, Brother Brian did. How often have you got up there and you did, like, super-duper speed tongue? And you're like, yes, I'm going to receive. But then it's just kind of like, eh. But that was because we were trying so hard to receive instead of just going, Father, I receive exactly what I need in Jesus' name. And then you just sit and wait. Oh, that is so much freedom. And here's one of the other things that, as Pastor said that, how much, you know how easy it is to receive when you're not tired from trying to receive? You just kind of go, that you know your Father loves you so much that he's using that man or woman of God to give you a word, to lay hands, whatever the case may be. And when that's his way of getting it to you, and you don't have to try for it. Like, all of your praying in that moment, that's the moment everything's being answered. When I got revelation of that, I was like, I don't have to figure it out anymore. I may not know how when he lays hands on me, there's a transfer of it, but I know I receive it. In Jesus' name. Let's go up some because I missed some of those. Pastor John says, Wisdom is realizing you don't know everything, and everything you need to know is in Christ. Absolutely. Chrissy said, yesterday's message and prayer was definitely a great lesson in receiving. Amen. Praise God. Emily said the prayer at the end was powerful. And then there's a bunch of different testimonies of saying, yes, 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 amen. Barrett says this, God doesn't need my help in getting his goodness to me. When my daughter tries to help me do a task, she doesn't know how to do it. It actually makes the task so much more complicated. And you could do it like this, so much more complicated. Amen. Yes. The biggest help I can give God is yielding to him. That's why that saying that the teaching that Brother Brian said yesterday, and this is something that when Brother Brian taught that I tried to start living my life in. Remember when he was given the analogy about him pushing the buggy? I think he may have said shopping cart. I don't remember what he said. I call it buggy. That's a Mississippi term. So pushing the buggy and just be the kid and jump in and let him push it where it needs to go. That particular revelation, you could say, because that was wisdom from the Holy Ghost. When that hit me, that's when I realized I've been working so hard to try to receive what has already been given instead of just jumping in the buggy and allowing the man, the woman of God that the Lord gave me to get me to the place that I need to be, give them the power and the authority to push. Because if I'm trying to push the buggy, I'm saying I don't trust them. And it was so freeing because I was like, I don't have to work as hard as I've been trying to work. There's a supply that the Lord has given me to equip me with this man or woman of God to equip me for the work of ministry, to teach me all of these things. And it was so freeing. Oh, it was so much. It was so awesome. I mean, Sherry, it's going to be awesome at the altar Sunday. Amen. That's that right there. I like that statement. It is going to be an awesome Sunday. Think about this. Think the timely of this, that the Lord would have Pastor preach this Wednesday. And then and we keep meditating on that and thinking about that. And then all of a sudden come Sunday. How much more are we going to receive Sunday because the Lord had Brother Brian teach this? There's a reasoning behind that. God is not a God of coincidences. He's not a God that just, well, I'm just going to throw this and see if it sticks. No, there is a reason that the Holy Spirit had Brother Brian minister that. And now we know how to receive. So can you imagine how full we're going to be come Sunday when it's time to receive? And not even just time to receive at the altar. When it's time to receive the word, we just sit back and go, oh, Lord, I received. Did you know how much we're going to be able to eat and how much we're going to be able to take in? Oh, I'm excited. Let's see. We have Terry said this, praying in spirit, thinking I was thanking him for what I was about to receive. I've been there. I understand what you say, what you're saying. Gerald's laughing. Chrissy says, Jesus, take the wheel. Rebecca Beard, everybody, I like to call shopping carts buggies too. Amen. That's because you know what you're talking about. That's all I'm going to say. Everybody started, my wife had to put in what buggy meant in the comments. So think about this. You know, I was just talking this and just getting ready as pastors coming in. Something about yielding that is important. When you yield, you're receiving the ingredients that you need, or you're receiving the touch that you need to get what you've been praying for, to get what you've been believing God for, to get whatever the case may be. And it's in that yielding that you stop. So think about it like this. If you've been trying to do, what's the definition of insanity? The Lord just kind of gave it to me like that. What's the definition of insanity? Doing the same thing over and over again and expecting different results. So there's been times in my life that I've been so like, this is the way it's got to be. And I know that there's a way that it's going to work. So I keep repeating and repeating and repeating and thinking, somehow I'm going to get a different result. And I've ran against those walls, spiritually speaking and, you know, physically, and ran against it. And I'm trying to do it. And then all of a sudden, I just go, there's got to be an easier way. Lord showed me an easier way. And it's in that moment that I say, okay, I'm done trying to do this. Lord, show me your way. And then all of a sudden, he shows an easier way. And yielding is getting what you've been trying to get for years or months or whatever the case may be. Yielding is that door where God shows, okay, this is the door to get where it is. I watched this meme the other day, and I got tickled at it. There was this a dad, and he had two kids, and they was going to the baseball field. And this one kid was like, he was so excited to play baseball. He had his baseball bag on, and he's running up to the fence, and because he was so excited to get to the field, right? He missed it was a fence that had like two pieces of wood, like the old timey like lean-to fences, and there was the gap for the door here, and then it continued that way and continued that way, and the kid ran past the doorway. And he's got this bag on him. The bag's bigger than he is, and of course, it's packed full of stuff. And first, he tries to step through the fence, and his bag gets caught, so he pulls back, kind of gets aggravated, so he pulls the bag down and tries to step through it again. But now the end of the bag is up, and it won't let him get through there. So he finally gets this bright idea: I'm going to climb over the fence. So he then grabs it and he starts trying to climb over this fence, but his legs are too short, and he finally gets his leg up over it, and then he gets his other leg up over it, and he jumps, and he falls, and he just tumbles. Well, about that time, as he's falling and tumbling, his dad and his younger brother just simply walks out of the car, walks through the place, and it's literally like if this was the fence and this was the beginning of the fence, he was climbing over the fence right here. Here was the door right here, and this was the rest of the fence. Only thing he had to do is wait on his dad, and his dad would have showed him the easier path. But he was so gung-ho to try to get there, to try to get to the field, to do what he wanted, that he wasted a whole lot of energy and a whole lot of time. And simply, only thing he had to do was go, my dad will show me, and he will show me the easier way and the easier path. Like, yielding simply says this: there's an easier way and there's an easier path to get exactly what I need. Amen. Let me see some other comments here. Yes, Baron, I'm learning to yield to God. Amen, Miss Chrissy. You keep doing that. Just more that you yield, the more he'll be able to show you and use you and just take care of you along the path. Literally, yielding is allowing God to take care of you. It's one of the things that I've learned in time. Like, when I yield to God, I'm giving God the ability to do what he wants to do. I'm giving God the ability to take care of me. And it is so wonderful when he takes care of me. Gloria said this: honestly, yielding is very new to me. So being taught how to yield has been great. It's either you receive it or not. Amen. That right there is a big one. How many of you can say this, that yesterday was a first for you, that yesterday receiving that teaching of yielding, not necessarily, you've probably heard the verbiage, you've probably heard that, but how many times have you heard an anointed teaching like that, that really opened it up to say, like, I had an idea of receiving, but I didn't really know I had an idea of yielding, but I really didn't know what yielding was. And I did the best that I thought to do with yielding, but now that I received that teaching, and it's changed my life. Like, yeah, I knew of receiving and yielding, but yesterday it changed and brought me up to a new level. Hannah says this: when I yield to God, I'm giving him the ability to take care of me. Amen. Thank you. That's what she put in. I just said that a while ago. She put it in the comments. But go ahead and put that back in. When I yield, everybody put that in the comments. When I yield to God, I'm giving him the ability to take care of me. I'm not trying to do it myself. I just receive what he already has. Amen. Pastor just got in here. He's about to start miking up, and he's about to start getting all that all ready for that. So just continue to be in a place of reception and just yield to the flow today. Yeah, we spent a little bit of time kind of recapping and talking about a little bit of stuff of that we went over yesterday. But today, there's a fresh supply. And as we get into this, why do people fall down when getting prayed for? Be willing to yield to the teaching, because it's probably going to be different than what you've kind of, thought of in your head, what it meant and what it means. And like I told you before, this is something that has caused people to stumble because they don't understand it and they're not willing to yield to it. So it is going to be a great, great, great day. I will read one more comment and we'll turn it over to Pastor. He said, I had to stop, or this, excuse me, it was not he, it was, this is Lisa. She said, I had to stop myself yesterday when Pastor Brian said receive. My mind wanted to do the old way. Lisa, great job catching that and stopping yourself from going to the old way and saying, no, I'm just simply going to receive. I'm going to just put go do exactly what my man of God said, and I'm going to sit in a place of receiving and not trying to go back to an old way, because that old way was keeping you from receiving. But you catching that, that was a great catch. Great, great job. That blesses me and pleases for me. Amen. Are y'all ready? Drum roll. Do we have it? Do y'all have it ready?
Nice.
Amen.
Thank you guys for hanging out. I apologize for the delay. Actually, the Lord was pouring out some more stuff to me on this topic, and I wanted to get it all to you. So anyway, we're going to talk today about why do people fall out, and I'm going to ask actually Pastor Zach to go ahead
yes,
and excuse himself from the frame, because if I leave him here, this is going to be a really, really long teaching for right now. But be ready to come back in, okay? Be ready to come back in. All right, so they're probably going to frame this up differently here in just a second. Amen. Hey, there's a new camera. All right, so we're going to talk about this today. Thank you so much for hanging out. I didn't want to give this tomorrow since we said we'd give it today, even though I was actually a little bit late today. I wanted to go ahead and give that topic and make sure that we had it in full. I think this is a really important topic, and a lot of people want to know about why are people falling out? Why are they slain in the Spirit? So let's jump in. So why do people fall out when preachers pray for them? What, it's called slain in the Spirit. Why are they slain in the Spirit? What is going on with that? Is it of God? Is it right? Is there more to it than what we thought? And I wrote these things down just as some questions for us to look at. Should I be slain in the Spirit? What's going on with that? Should I judge that? Should I fall out? If so, what reason and how do I do that? And I wrote this down. I want you to hear this. This topic is like so many other things that we grow in our Christian walk. Personally, I judge this very harshly because I had a small understanding of actually what was going on and how it worked. So in my early years, I would judge this and I would say I was discerning, but I was really being very critical of this. And this caused me to miss God because I was being critical of this because I didn't understand some things about it. Actually, I only understood one part of being slain in the Spirit and falling out, and I was judging the other two parts harshly because I didn't know them yet. I only thought people fell out for one reason, and that was that the power of God overwhelmed them. But that's not the only reason that people fall out. People fall out for three reasons. I'm going to go ahead and give these to you right up front, and I want you to see this. Here's the three reasons why people fall out. Number one, the power of God overwhelms them. This is what most people see and think and understand, is that they fall out only because the power of God overwhelms them. The second one is they are in great expectation. I'm falling out because I'm expecting a great touch of God. And the third reason is they fall out because they are submitting and yielding to God. And you can see how our teaching that we had yesterday on yielding to God comes into play with that. You can see how the teaching on yielding will basically add to that, because when you understand the yielding, now you can apply this in your expectation and submitting to God when you're receiving in that prayer line as well. And so I always thought it was just the power of God that hit people. And so I would be like, I'm going to sit here and God's going to have to knock me out. I mean, he's going to have to lay me out because I don't want anything fake. And what I was doing right there, what was I doing when I was like saying, God, you're not going to get me unless you prove yourself? What am I not doing? I'm not yielding. And if I'm not yielding, then how much is the power of God going to be able to hit me? No, he's not going to force it on me. He's not going to make me yield to him. Yielding is a choice. And so because I thought falling out and being slain in the spirit was only one thing, then I'm sitting there like, Lord, I know now you're not blowing every one of those people out. They're all fallen. That's not right. And I didn't realize just how judgmental I was and how critical I was. And I learned that this is not the only reason. And the Lord actually taught me this in a meeting. The meeting that launched me into ministry, the touch of God that launched me into full ministry. I was ministering before, but this is what really sent me into ministry, was when I fell out, not because the power of God blew me back or blew me on the ground, but I just submitted to him. Many of you have heard the story, but I'm in a meeting. The guy says, the minister says, hey, if you want the heart of God and the mind of God, come up and get prayer. And so I went up to get prayer because I decided I want that. And there were about six rows in front of me, about 50 people across in each row. Every person he touched was falling out. And because I only thought that falling out was the power of God, I'm thinking, there's no way every single one of them are getting touched by the power of God. Because if that was so, this room would be filled with his glory. And I was judging it, and I was being critical. And I asked the Lord, I said, Lord, why are you allowing this? And the Lord was so gentle with me and merciful, even though I had the wrong heart about it. And he said, you're right, not all of them are receiving the power of God. He didn't even explain all that to me. But he said, for some of the people, them falling out is their way of showing that they are submitting and yielding to me. And as soon as he said that, I went, well, I want to do that to you. I want to submit to you. He said, then fall. He said, then fall. I was like, okay. The guy came by me. He touched me on the forehead. I felt nothing. I felt absolutely nothing. If there was a physical sensation of it, I felt nothing. And but because I wanted to submit to God and yield to God, and I was in expectation to receive something big, I fell out. The catchers caught me. I laid on the ground. When I touched the ground, boom, right? When they laid me on the ground, it's as if God touched his finger to my chest from heaven. My whole body got hit with the power of God. I started shaking and crying. I had a vision. I saw a part of our ongoing mission of winning souls. I saw the heart of God, the mind of Christ. It became so real to me, I thought I was going to die. Right? But notice, when he touched me, I felt nothing. I really learned a lot that day in God's mercy. It wasn't because Brian was so smart or had revelation or he was so humble. It was actually the mercy of God that was helping me in that way. But in that yielding, it wasn't the power of God that knocked me out. It wasn't being slain in the spirit that knocked me out. It was just I wanted to yield, and I expected great big things from him. And then the fire of God baptized me in that moment, and I shook for 3 days straight. I could not stop, and for 3 months, every time you talked about the Holy Ghost or I started praying in tongues, I'd start shaking again, and I could not stop. And it was from that one moment that I just decided, Lord, I yield to you. But see, so many people are taught, no, you want to be in control. So they're like, you're not knocking me down. I'm not laying on, I'm not yielding. I'm not giving myself and laying myself out there. And it comes from a lack of trust, a lack of these things. And but the biggest thing I want you to see is it's not just the power of God that people fall out for or they're slain in the spirit over. It's not just that. The power of God hit me once I had yielded. And that doesn't happen every time. To me, that was really like a one-time event that happened like that. I've been touched with the power of God since then multiple times, but that one was special. But you can see it wasn't the power of God that initiated that. It was the yielding and the submitting and the expectation. And so the three reasons that people fall out, number one, the power of God overwhelms them. Two, they're in great expectation. When you go up to get prayer, shouldn't you be expecting, I'm going up so that God Almighty can touch my life. And if God Almighty touches my life, then I'm in expectation of something big changes to me. Should that not be the heart that we carry to every prayer line? Something big's about to happen to me right now because God's going to meet my faith at that altar in that prayer line. So our expectation is I'm going to have the Creator of the universe touch my life right here in this prayer line. And so many times you'll see that people will fall out that understand this. Lord, I expect it to be so big that it overwhelms my life. I expect that it's going to be so big that it overwhelms my life. Whether I feel it or not, my expectation is so big. Yes, Lord, I'm falling out in a form of expectation and works of my faith, right? And so this is one of the ways that people fall out and why they do. The other one is what I said already, submitting and yielding to God. Lord, I submit to you. I am in your hands. Whatever you want to do, do it. My life is yours. Boom. Right? And so now you see that. Now you can see how if you don't know those things or you're not given to those things, then you're just looking for the power of God and the power of God only. Like I said, it's like so many other things in our Christian walk. We think we know what it is, and that's why earlier I wrote it in the comments. We must be willing to give up what we think we know, right? We have to give up what we think we know. In other words, the things we know, we think we know them, but maybe we don't know them as well as we should. Maybe, just maybe, there's more revelation in this word than you've seen so far, than we have seen so far. And so when we submit to God and then we understand that it might not just be this one way that this happens. It might happen multiple ways. If I only think that it's only the power of God that overwhelms me, then I'm going to sit there, I'm going to brace myself, you know. All right, Lord, you're going to have to blow me back, right? Well, again, you know, we were talking yesterday about yielding. Pastor Zach just brought up the example of the two water hoses. You know, think about this. If I had a spigot here and I had a spigot here and they both are giving out water and then I connected those water hoses at the end. So one spigot's turned on full, the other one's turned on full, and the water comes right there. What's going to happen? Nothing. It's just going to sit there. There'll be no flow in either one. The water just sits still. Is that how we want our spiritual life? No, that means I've got to give an outlet for God to give to me by getting in the place of receiving and yielding. I can't be sitting there bracing myself like, God, you're going to have to do this. You've got to make me fall, you know. Or I'm fighting the preacher. You know, and this is the thing, because I would think that that pastor, because I thought that falling out in the Spirit was all a matter of the pastor pushing people over. And I would get offended at this, and I've heard people over the years, well, that pastor pushed me. Let me put it to you this way. Maybe the extra pressure helped you to receive, helped you to yield. Have you ever thought about that? I remember one time, maybe it helped me to receive. So instead of fighting that thing logically, see how the devil tries to get you all in the fleshly logic. As soon as it's time for you to actually receive the things of God, he tries to get you all wrapped up here. Well, he pushed me. Well, who cares? Like, is, for example, like Brother Tracy, he's my spiritual father. Brother Tracy, I love you. I trust you. I yield to you, to my spiritual dad, right? You want to push me? Push me. You want to slap me pretty hard? Slap me pretty hard. I can take it. Like, I'm not going to break, right? Do what you want to do. And I don't care. And watch this. When I learned this lesson, one time I was at Brother Tracy's, and it was a specific moment. When I learned this lesson, one time he came in, because I'm his son, he won't just do this with everybody unless the Holy Ghost specifically tells them. But he, with spiritual sons and daughters that he knows and they know him and they trust him, he's more free to do what won't lock you up in your logic, right? And so one time he came and he grabbed me And I mean, he hit me in the chest. Boom! Hit me in the chest. And I felt it physically. Physically, I felt it, right? But I'm going to tell you, at the same time, because my spiritual discernment has grown now, when that happened, I didn't just feel it physically. I felt it spiritually. Something, the power of God went through my body spiritually. Now, see, if I was back in the old days of judging, well, he pushed me, right? I would have been focused totally on that, and I would have rejected and missed the power of God that I needed in that moment. Now, are there people that are faking out there? Yes, absolutely. I'm not saying that you yield to people who are con artists, but when people are really walking in the power of God, you want to learn how to yield to them. You want to learn how to flow with them. You want to learn how to say, Lord, do whatever you want to do. I'm expecting great big things. And I'm telling you, that day when that happened, that story I'm telling you about, my life changed in that moment when he pushed me and hit me hard. Because something, he may have done that physically, but that action and my reception did something spiritually that took me to another level, right? And this is where the Lord wants us to be. Didn't hurt me, didn't harm me, but it would have hurt a judgmental, critical mind. It would have done that, right? But because I had grown beyond that, I was just able to receive, and my life went up, right? So watch this. Why do people fall out? Here's the basic reason. The lesser power always has to yield to the higher power, right? Now, the thing is that God gives us the ability to turn on our yielding and our submitting or not. So if we say, I don't want that, he will not force his power on us, right? Even though he's a stronger power and could, he won't do that. He lets us choose and lets us decide. So in other words, if I want the power of God, I must move to the place of yielding. But if the power of God is released in full and our power, which is not as full as that, comes up against it, our power will submit to his. The lesser power always yields and submits to the greater power. And so when you see this, you see that when the presence of God shows up, when the glory of God shows up, especially in a corporate setting, then people are affected by that. You can see this in the Bible. And one of the things that you'll see is people say, well, this people falling out and being slain in the spirit is extra biblical, or it's outside of the Bible. No, it's not really. It's in the Bible. But they'll say this. I'm going to give you 3 points to show you how it is biblical for this to happen. But the first thing to recognize in this is that when the power of God shows up, the lesser power has to submit. Look at 1 Kings 8 and verse 10 and 11. 1 Kings 8, and when it happened that the priest came from the holy place, the cloud, the glory cloud, filled the house of the Lord. Now we know this is a manifested presence of God. Verse 11, so that the priest could not stand to minister because of the cloud, for the glory of the Lord filled the house of the Lord. So the presence of God's glory came into the house, and what happened to all the priests, the highest ones? What happened to all the priests? They couldn't stand up. They had to yield to the power of God. So one thing I want you to see is, when the power of God and the presence of God shows up, it overwhelms the lower power. It overwhelms that corrupted flesh and basically zaps it, and they weren't even able to minister. Look again, 2 Chronicles 5:14. So that the priest could not stand to minister because of the cloud, for the glory of the Lord filled the house of God. So you see that when the cloud came in, this happened multiple times. Again, it happened on the Mount of Transfiguration. Jesus reveals the glory, and all of a sudden, all the disciples that were there, they fall out, right? This happens over and over again in the Bible. So let's get to this first. When the power of God shows up, the lesser power or the lesser authority has to yield and will do that. The power of God can knock people off their feet and does it. Look at this. I want you to hear these three different stories. Brother Tracy tells a story when he went to Europe, I think it was one of the first times, and he took his hair dryer from home and he plugged it into the wall. And he said the problem was that my plug would fit into the wall of a European outlet. He said the problem is in the U.S., that's 120 volts, a lesser power system, but in Europe, it's 240 volts, a higher power system. And when I plugged it in, he said, I noticed, he said, this hairdryer started to run well. It ramped up much higher than normal. He said, and it had a glorious few seconds. And then all of a sudden, the power that was stronger than it was designed to handle, it got to it. And it went zzz, pop, and out came smoke and fire and everything. The lesser power must yield to the higher power. And that's what happens when the power of God comes and it hits people. It's like, okay, God's holy authoritative power touches this body that's a corrupted body, all of a sudden, oh, boom, and you're out. This is the power of God. This happens. Old Testament, New Testament. We're going to read some more here in a second. Here's another story. You might have read this or heard this, that at one point, one day, Smith Wigglesworth was praying, and he had a relationship with God, and it was so strong. Now, understand, you can develop yourself to walk in that power as you grow in the Lord. And this is what Smith Wigglesworth had done. And he's sitting there in a room praying, and he's got ministers and pastors praying with him. All of a sudden, the glory starts coming in. Smith continues praying. He's praying. He's receiving the things from the Lord. He's praying out the things of the Lord. They're worshiping the Lord. They're spending time with him. All of a sudden, the ministers start dropping. Boom. Boom, boom. The ministers are under so much weight from the glory of God, they're crawling out of the room like, I gotta get out of this, I'm gonna die. Like, the weight was so strong. Now, Smith was fine. He kept on because he was used to that, and he had grown spiritually to the place that he could operate in that. But the glory was so strong and the presence was so strong, it started knocking these ministers out. And ministers would go in like, I'm going in, I'll be able to. And a few minutes later, they'd be crawling out. Oh, I can't take it. This is the power of God. Another thing, this is something that I used to judge. I'd hear stories where people would say, man, God knocked me out so much and I couldn't even lift myself off the floor. I'm like, oh, I don't know. I've never experienced that or anything. And then one day, I was in a service, and I was laid out on the floor. I didn't think it was a strong service. I didn't think it was too much different from other services. But man, I went to get up off the floor, and I was in shape. I wasn't like a weakling. I wasn't like spaghetti arms or anything like that. I went to go, and I went. I could not lift myself. The weight of God's presence was on me so strong, I could not lift myself up off the floor. No, this body had to yield to the power that was present. And so I thought bad about that at one time. I judged that wrongly. I was critical about that. And then I found out one day, oh, nope, that's a real thing. That for sure happened. And it was the power of God was so sweet, so precious in that moment, but it was overwhelming to this fleshly body. All right, you see the same thing, John chapter 18, verse 4 through 6. So Jesus, knowing all the things that were coming upon him, went forth and said to them, this is when they came to arrest him in the garden, he said, whom do you seek? They answered, Jesus the Nazarene. He said to them, I am he. All right, the he is added. What he actually said was, I am. And when he said that in all the power and authority of the Father, it says, and Judas also, who was betraying him, was standing with him. So when he said to them, I am he, they drew back and fell to the ground. Just at his word, when he, this is New Testament, when he released who he was in the Spirit, they fell back. Remember, the Bible says, as he is, so are we in this world. And so my point in saying that is, Jesus is not the only one carrying the power of God and carrying the Holy Spirit today. He said, I go away that I might send you the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit is God and brings the presence of God even to this day. Look at this in Acts 26, verse 13 and 14. At midday, O king, this is Paul giving the testimony of his conversion. He said, at midday, O king, I saw on the way a light from heaven, brighter than the sun, shining all around me and those who were journeying with me. And when we had fallen to the ground, I heard a voice saying to me in the Hebrew dialect, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? It is hard for you to kick against the goads. And notice that when the presence of Jesus showed up, what happened to Saul? He fell to the ground. And all that was with him, every person with him, they all fell to the ground. Why? Because the power of God knocked them to the ground. The lesser power yielded to the greater power. Revelation 1:17. So see, this is not just Old Testament. This is New Testament. John, given the testimony of the revelation of Christ, he says, when I saw him, I fell at his feet like a dead man. So see, this is not just, and watch this, fell at his feet like a dead man. This is not just him hitting his knees and worshiping him. This is him falling out like there's no breath left in him, like what happened to the Queen of Sheba. In other words, he was knocked to that place and there was no life in him. He was like a dead man. This was the power of God that hit him when Jesus showed up. And he placed his right hand on me saying, do not be afraid, I am the first and the last. And so let me show you this from the Bible. There's three doctrinal points from the Bible that I want you to see. Number one, God's presence can cause people to fall out. God's presence can cause people to be what's called slain in the spirit. This is so. We've seen it biblically. Two, we know from the Bible that his Spirit is with and in believers, right? The kingdom is within you. His Spirit is within you. Don't you know that you are the temple of the Holy Ghost? So the presence of God is living in believers, and you can be baptized and filled to the overflow with the presence of God, with the Holy Ghost. So number one, God's presence can knock people out and cause them to fall out. And his presence lives within us. Three, his power can be transferred through touch, through physical things. Look at this in Acts 8:17. Then they began laying their hands on them and they were receiving the Holy Spirit. There's a transfer of the power of God. How? But through the laying on of hands. There's a physical transfer. The anointing can be tangible and can be passed in that way. So the power of God that's living inside of us can actually be transferred into other people. So you can see why it makes biblical sense for the presence of God to cause people to be slain in the spirit and cause them to fall out. Acts 19:11 through 12. God was performing extraordinary miracles by the hands of Paul. How? By the hands of Paul. The power of God was released through his hands and even the physical transfer of the handkerchiefs. He says, so that handkerchiefs or aprons were even carried from his body to the sick, and the diseases left them and evil spirits went out. So you see that he just had, like, he carried a handkerchief with him, and he carried it. And while he's ministering, and the anointing is flowing, that anointing's getting in that handkerchief. Yeah. And then they took that and sent it to somebody. And when they took that handkerchief, they kept it with them. That anointing transferred, and this was mighty miracles that were being done. This is why a lot of people don't even know this. But this is why every Sunday that I preach, every Sunday, I actually carry handkerchief with me, and we have a rotation of those handkerchiefs. Anytime somebody says, hey, we need prayer for somebody who's at a distance, we'll take one of those handkerchiefs and we'll send it with them. Those handkerchiefs have been carried in the anointing while the ministry is going on. Brother David Hogan, who was one of the ones who really inspired me to go after the Lord, he would see such mighty miracles that when he goes and preaches at places, people will take their coats and jackets and all kinds of scarves and everything, shoes, and throw them in a pile at the front. And while he's ministering, he'll walk through and touch all those things. And then they get their stuff back and they have that transfer of the anointing. This is why this happens. And it will actually happen by a physical transfer of that anointing. It's biblical, and there's actually a case for it in the Bible. Here's what I want you to see, though. The power of God can cause people to fall out or be slain. We carry or are a conduit of the power of God. The believers of God and ministers of God are a conduit of the Spirit and the presence of God. And that spirit and presence and power can be transferred physically. And so by these three biblical doctrines, you can see that this actually can happen when a minister lays their hand on somebody where the power is transferred and they are actually healed and delivered in that way. I want you to see this in 2 Chronicles 7, verse 1 through 3. 2 Chronicles 7, this is after the one in 2 Chronicles 5. It says, now when Solomon had finished praying, fire came down from heaven and consumed the burnt offering and the sacrifices, and the glory of the Lord filled the house. The priests could not enter enter the house of the Lord because of the glory of the Lord filled the house. They couldn't even walk in. This is what happened in Smith Wigglesworth's room. They got to the place they couldn't even enter the room. This happened to Brother Tracy where he was having an encounter with God and his wife tried to walk into the room and she said it was like a wall. I bounced off of the wall. So when the glory of God is there and the presence of God, it has an effect on the lesser power. Verse 2 says that they couldn't enter because of the glory of the Lord filled the house. Verse 3, and all the sons of Israel, seeing the fire come down and the glory of the Lord upon the house, they bowed down on the pavement with their faces to the ground, and they worshiped and gave praise to the Lord, saying, truly he is good, truly his loving kindness is everlasting. What do you see this? Now they weren't knocked out, and they didn't necessarily fall backwards, but in reverence and respect and expectation, they bowed and worshiped him and laid with their face to the ground in expectation and in submission to God. So you can see that these three things that why people fall out, the power of God knocks them out. They are in great expectation that the power of God is going to do something great in their life, or they want to submit and yield to God. These are the reasons why people fall out. So when you see everybody falling out, maybe it's the power of God. Maybe it's just they wanted to submit. I've had some days where everybody I touch, they fall out under the power of God and couldn't be stopped. I have some days where nobody falls out. I have some days where somebody falls out under the power of God, wham, and they're out. And then I have days, in that same day, other people, they're not feeling the power of God, but they yield and fall out in expectation. Other people yield and fall out in a submission to God. It can be any of those things. But what we don't want to do is get outside of yielding, try to brace ourselves and try to force God. All right, Lord, you're going to have to force me. Or judge people because, like, I know they didn't fall out. That preacher's just pushing them all. See, that is such a worldly thought that you have to get that worldliness out of there. You have to get that critical spirit out of there, especially when you found out that a ministry is true and they're operating by the power of God and the anointing of God. That's not something to play with and say, no, look, they might be pushing people, but if they are, it's because God told them to, and they're not trying to knock them out. Like, I'm not trying to, if I ever push on somebody, I'm not trying to get them to go down. I'm trying to get them to yield, or I'm trying to deliver something to them. If they fall out, that's their own business. But and the ushers will help keep them up if they want to. But I'm just trying to deliver what God's told me to give. If that means that I don't even touch them, then I won't touch them. If that means that I just lightly touch their head, then I lightly touch them. If that means that I push them, then I push them. Whatever it is, the Holy Spirit's yielding. But I'm not trying to get an effect. See, that's the difference. Many people judge the minister. Many people judge the minister based off of their convictions and their wrong thinking. In other words, you're thinking I'm trying to get an effect, so you're judging me for what you're believing in that way. That's not it. I'm not trying to get an effect, except I'm trying to get a deliverance to that person, an impartation to that person, however that needs to be. I'm not trying to get an effect. I have plenty of people that fall out. I don't have to prove that anymore, right? I'm not looking for that to be a sign that you need to come up and believe. No. I just want to deliver whatever it is that God wants to deliver to that person today. If they stand the whole time, great. If they fall out, great. I don't care. I just want 100% of that. So if you have any questions about this, put it in the comments right now. And Pastor Zach, you can come back if you want to, if you have anything to add to it. But Father, I would just want to pray right now while he's doing that. Father, right now, in Jesus' name, as we come up for prayer and we're receiving ministry, Lord, let us yield to you perfectly. Let us be in great expectation and submission. And Lord, let us yield to the greater power. Father, we thank you that your power is real. We thank you that you are helping us. You are bringing the supernatural help. And Lord, it sometimes has an effect on this fleshly body that is a lesser power. Lord, we receive that. If that's of you, we receive it. If it's not of you, we don't receive it. But Lord, in that moment, if it's some minister is being a con artist and it's not of you, we don't receive that. But Lord, if we've found ministers to be true, we yield to them and we yield to you in the flow of only what you have. We only want what you want, Lord, and only those things. Nothing more, nothing less. But Lord, this is what will be found of us. We will expect big from you. We will submit big to you. We will yield and we will show our heart as we receive, Lord. And Lord, we know this, your power is stronger than we are. And Lord, we receive your power, your help, your grace right now. Just right now, if you're able to, you can hold your hands up. Father, just yield right now. Father, right now, in the name of Jesus. Your name is greater than any other thing that would try to be in our lives. Father, we thank you for your name. We thank you for the power in that name and the authority of your love. Lord, let your power touch people now. Let it change them, help them, strengthen them, grow them now. In Jesus' name, we praise you, we worship you, and we give you the glory and the honor. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Glory to God. Amen. Did you get something out of that? And do you have any questions about it? So, do you see anything new or see it in a new light?
So a couple of new things and a new light. The way you've explained some things. I've heard you explain it before.
Yeah.
But really just with a teaching from yesterday about yielding, and it took it to a new level when you told your testimony about you just yielded and then the power of God came over you like that. It just That story has helped me so much with learning how to receive in that way.
Yeah, it helped me a lot. That, you know, I had no idea about that at that time. Obviously, I was sitting there in the middle of judging everybody when that happened, and praise God for his mercy. You know, the thing was, I was hungry, and I was judging from an older mindset and a more critical mindset. I was definitely operating more in legalism than I was in righteousness by faith. And so I just wanted to do it right. Yes, sir. I wanted it to be right. And the Lord knew that. But there does come a time where you recognize, hey, this is critical. You know, this is the accuser talking, not God talking. This is not And you see that a lot in religious circles where people are, they're constantly just being critical.
Yes.
And it's the accuser of the brethren that's speaking out of their corrupted flesh and logic,
yes,
where their mind's not renewed to it. And that is something that will really keep you away from the power of God.
Yes.
Now, he was merciful to me, and he'll be merciful to others as well, but not if you keep walking in that after you've learned better.
Yes, sir. Yes,
yeah,
sir.
But that day, I'm watching, I was like, I just... See, in my head, if the only reason why people fell out was because the power of God or the minister was pushing them.
Mm-hmm.
See, I'm thinking all these guys are just, all they're doing, in my head that day, the power of God wasn't hitting every single person. They were just doing that basically to be like a con artist.
Mm-hmm.
But how bad is that to think? In that way, I was not sure that I could trust the minister in that way.
Yes, sir.
And how corrupted thinking is that?
Yeah.
Like, how much worldly thinking is that? That's making me think this is what's really going on. Instead of saying, you know, this could really be God, or they could really have a heart towards God. So I wasn't believing the best. You know, I wasn't believing the best. And in Corinthians, when it's talking about love, Corinthians 13, it's talking about love. In the Amplified, it says, love believes the best. I was believing the worst. Well, that was a bad deal. Now, praise God, I was hungry. I was trying to humble myself, and the Lord saw that, and because of that, he helped me. But I really shouldn't have been there in the first place, because I should have had better teaching on that, and I should have thought better myself on my own. So,
One of the things that you said there, Pastor, it's when you have that critical spirit like that, it goes back to what you were saying earlier. You had that critical spirit because you thought you knew something, and it was so real to you what you thought you knew that anybody outside of that, they were wrong automatically.
Correct.
But
but
in your humility, you go, no, okay, you didn't immediately throw everything out. You go, Lord, what is it that you want me to do?
Yeah.
And you had that conversation.
Yeah.
The Lord brought the correction. And because of that, he was able to get the baptism of the fire and baptize you in fire and then open up, gave you vision that eventually come what we're operating in today in that moment.
Yeah. Well, if you think about it, that's correct. It was such a huge moment. But if you do think about it, like even though I was being accusatory and critical, I was still seeking the Lord in humility in this sense. Not in that sense, but in this sense. Lord, why are you allowing this? That was my question. Father, now I know all of these people are not getting touched by the power of God. Why are you allowing this? So see, yes, I was being critical, and that's what prompted it, but ultimately I went back to humility, and I asked, why are you allowing this? I want to know what your thinking is on this.
Mm-hmm.
And he didn't even really answer my question. He answered what I needed to know.
But it was in your humility that you were able to yield and receive. Had you not have been humbled, one, you wouldn't ask that question.
Yes, correct.
Two, he wouldn't have been able to get it to you. And then all, like thousands of lives right now, well, hundreds of thousands of lives right now would not have been touched. Because the yielding, that's how it goes back to yesterday. It's why yielding is so important. Like that moment has touched hundreds of thousands in the future.
Correct.
It'll be millions of lives from that one moment of simply yielding.
Yeah, well, I was hungry, and that hunger spawns humility, and humility spawns hunger.
Yes.
They work, and so we want to get hunger and humility going amping up. And I was very hungry in that time. I was been praying for the baptism of fire and all that kind of stuff. And so that hunger drove me to be humble myself and say, maybe there's something I don't know. And so, yes, I was being critical and accusatory, but there was a thread of humility.
Yes.
And that one thread of humility allowed the mercy to flow.
Amen.
So it's huge to keep ourselves humble. Think about what we could have flowing to us if we were not didn't just have a thread of humility.
Ooh.
But we became humble.
Oh.
Right? If we didn't just have a thread of hunger, but our whole being was hungry, right?
Yes, sir.
What doors could be open to
us
then? So I think we had a question. Go ahead, Marky.
We have multiple questions.
Oh, we do? Awesome.
We have three questions in the comments, and then I had a question too. But Barrett asked a question first. She said, how would you recommend someone who's young in faith yield slash submit when they're trying to discern if someone is legit or not. Example, when I moved, I had people telling me Boomerang was a cult. I needed your help to discern what was the Lord regarding submitting and yielding after being taught it was right and mature to analyze.
Yeah, well, it's right and mature to discern spiritually. Like, if you, all right, so we see in, like, Corinthians that the things of God are spiritually discerned.
Right.
Watch. Not logically analyzed.
Correct.
That it doesn't teach you to logically analyze it. It teaches us to spiritually discernment, which also means the spiritual discernment is not a function of my logic.
Right.
It's a function of the Holy Spirit in my spirit rightly dividing what is right and what is wrong. So a lot of people have this, they have this wrong thinking that their job is to logically analyze everything. And what they should actually do is spiritually discern the things of God. And the Word's already given us ways to discern that. He says, if the root is good, the fruit will be good. Right?
Yes, sir.
And so we want to look at the fruit. Is the fruit of love there? Is the fruit of joy there?
Mm-hmm.
Peace, all the fruit of the fruit of the Spirit,
is that
there and in operation? You want to watch that. Are you seeing the power of God? Because that should be a fruit that's there. That, you know, they have a form of godliness, but denying its power is a fruit of something you don't follow, right? Is there the power of God there? Is there the fruit of the Spirit? Is there revelation there where light is coming on in people and there's revelation in the minister, in the ministry? Is there winning souls and making disciples? Do they have fellowship with God?
Yeah.
So you can tell and discern a ministry by its fruit. And then, of course, you can also tell it by its longevity. In other words, has it continued in this? Because you'll see, you know, many things will come and go. But when you see a ministry that's had longevity, and especially longevity of fruit, fruitfulness, that's biblical kingdom fruitfulness, it shows what's actually happening in there. And so in that moment, I remember some of these things where those questions were brought up. And I would even say, you're going to have to decide. You need to look at the fruit. And one of the things that you can do is you can look at the fruit of people who are bringing the accusation and the fruit of the person being accused, right?
Yes.
If we were said that we were being a cult, what's the spirit of the person that's bringing it? Are they accusatory? Are they critical? Are they negative? Are they in joy? Versus somebody else. I remember one time somebody accused me of something, and they took something and they passed it across the table and went, here, like that. And I said, I don't even need to read what you wrote because I can tell by your heart that it's wrong. Just been your actions, the way that you did that. I read it. It was completely wrong.
Mm-hmm.
I did go ahead and read it because they took time to do it, and I cared for them and loved them. But I said, I could tell by the way that you did that, that the heart's wrong in the spirit. That's not the spirit of God. And the spirit of God is gentle and humble. That's not the spirit of God in that. Now, that doesn't mean that you don't have a prophet that's rough around the edges and will wake you up in alarm clock. But then when you wake up and you see that fruit, it'll be gentle and peace. So you can even see where I've had conversations where I needed to be an alarm clock to them, like, hey, stop, loud and forceful or whatever, shut up. I've even had to do that multiple times. Because people they're so wound in the spiritual bondage that they needed something that would help break them out of their thinking. But then after they yield, they get, all of a sudden peace comes. And you can see what I was telling you brought you to peace and brought you to that love. And so, again, though, I'll go back to the original. It's not a logical analyzing. It's a spiritual discernment. In other words, the Holy Spirit's going to be saying something inside of you. And a lot of times it'll be something like this. You might not understand what's going on, and you might not know everything you need to know, but something is right about this, and you know that it's right about this, and you need to follow that peace that's in your spirit, in your heart. So.
there's an example that shows this, and it goes back to a little bit of our topic today. Why do people fall out when getting prayed for? Specifically, the point that I've watched people get upset. He shouldn't have late. Like somebody, there was a man of God one time. Nobody else knew this, but he kicked me. Like I'm talking about in my chest, kicked me.
Yeah, yeah.
And there was people that got offended and left the church before of it. And yes. I'm sitting there going, I was like,
but
well,
you weren't offended.
No, I wasn't offended. In fact, I was super blessed because what they don't know, I've been believing God about something.
Sorry. Terry says, Dean says, Boomerang's not a cult because they let us go home.
I was doing this earlier because I didn't want to laugh.
I'm sorry. But those people got offended for you.
They got offended for me. And then they come to me later and they're like, Pastor, I can't believe you done that. And I said, how do you know God didn't tell him to? And they was like, this is what they said. God would never tell you to do that to somebody. I said, hold on. I said, one, have you heard of a man named Smith Wigglesworth?
Yeah.
And they was like, yes. I said, did you know God told him to punch a woman that had cancer? And they went, nuh-uh. So I pulled up the thing and I showed them. And they go, well, did she get healed? And I said, in fact, she did. And she never had cancer again. I said, and again, there was one time the Lord told Brother Wigglesworth, I said, basically, I can't remember if it was a man or woman, doesn't matter, pull her up out of the wheelchair. And then pulled her up out of the wheelchair, flop, pick her back up again. And they, at this point, they was like, you're abusing this woman. Yeah. I believe it was a woman. And he goes, I'm telling you to do it. Well, it was like the third or fourth time they'd done it. All of a sudden, immediately, she grew legs. So would God ever tell you for somebody to hit you or some of that kind of stuff? Yeah, it would happen. He told Brothers Wigglesworth that, and all of a sudden, cancer. Now,
people would say that God would never tell you to go dunk seven times in the Jordan River, too. You know, there's things, you know. There's so many things that people could say, well, God will never say it. Well, that's in the Bible. That was the Lord. Well, he's still alive today.
Yes.
He can still talk to people today, you know.
Yes.
It's like he still uses men and women of God today, you know.
Yes. Just that kind of stuff like that.
Well, I know a story where a guy, there's a really bold guy, a Shuttlesworth, and if you know that family, and God told him, he said, go, and not only, my understanding is this Shuttlesworth is very very adept at, like, you know, hand-to-hand and martial art type stuff, and the Lord said, go kick this guy in the chest. He came down off the platform, kicked him in the chest. Now, listen to this, and the guy had heart problems. The guy had heart problems, and he just came down and kicked him in the chest. And the guy got up totally healed.
Yeah.
So, you know, I'm telling you, before you go doing that, you better know it's the Lord. You better know it's the Lord. Like, don't just, you know. But when you do, you do. I've had times, like one time I had a guy, this happened to me. I had a guy, and he was coming to the church, and he had moved away from Albemarle now. But he was having kidney problems. And kidney stones or something, but kidney pain major. And the Lord told me, I said, listen, Lord just told me to do something. Do you trust me? He said, yeah. I said, Lord told me to hit you in the stomach. And I said, it'll be harder than normal. I'm not going to like sock you know, but it's going to be harder than normal. I said, is that all right? He said, yeah. Now watch, he yielded to me. Watch this. Now he had been having pain for a while, right? And I went about that hard. And hit him in the stomach. Instantly, he was healed. All the pain was gone.
Glory.
Right? That's what the Lord told me to do. I don't do it often, but if he tells me to do it, that's what he told me to do.
Amen.
And that wasn't even at a church service. That was like in my house, you know. Just it wasn't like praise and worship ahead of time or anything else. It was just what the Lord told me to do. So, yeah. Amen.
I think there was two more questions.
Yeah, go ahead, Marky.
Priscilla said, I've had people ask me, how do they know when to get back up? I usually don't get up till I feel a release. Can you explain this better, please?
You basically what you said is right. You know, you want to have a release. You don't need to just get straight back up. I'll just ask the Lord. Lord, you know, if I'm actually in my mind to ask the Lord, hey Lord, do I need to get up now? Then generally it's about time to get up anyway. But I'll ask the Lord, if when I have that thought, Lord, is it all right for me to get up? Sometimes he'll say, no, stay down, keep receiving. But sometimes the minister will say, you keep receiving. A lot of times people are just in their head, what are people thinking? Lord, what am I getting? Like this, stuff like that. Get out of your head. Learn. We have a whole series on getting out of your head. Get out of your head. Stop making your soul the source of your life, right? The mind, the will, and emotion. Stop allowing it to be the source of your life. It's not supposed to be like that. So,
amen.
Yeah. And so a lot of times when people come down to pray, they're thinking about everything. Like, that's not, if you think about this, if I'm sitting there in the prayer line and I'm thinking about everything, I have output.
Mm-hmm.
So I can't receive input cleanly.
Yeah.
So if I'm sitting there thinking about everything, I'm not going to be yielded and receiving. No, Lord, I come and in Jesus' name I receive.
Yeah.
Amen. I receive. What do I receive? Everything you want to give to me, I receive. Thank you, Lord. I'm not thinking about it. I'm not. I'll, on the way, I'll confess. I receive everything that you want me to receive. But when I'm up there, I'm not thinking about anything. I'm not praying out anything. I'm there to receive what God wants to impart to me.
Yeah.
I'm yielded.
So. Yeah.
And when I fall out, I will stay there as long as I need to stay there. But now, there are sometimes people that will get emotional and they think they're going to get more by laying there more. And the issue is they're thinking about it. Their right. brain, now you're actually in the soul. You're laying there for 2 hours and you needed to actually go and do some work and you were emotional. You know, that's not yes. right either. You need to actually just follow the leading of the Lord. If you come to yourself, then you're probably good. Get up and go. And there could be a moment where the Lord says, I want you just to linger here, and I want you to go longer than your flesh wants you to. Okay, fine. But there's a balance there. And
yes,
you
sir.
Just want to seek the Lord and not. We've definitely had that. We've had, once we taught people to yield, we'd have people sit there for an hour or two, and they actually need to get up and go do their job, and pretty much everybody knew it but them, right? And we've had that. We've had that. And then we've had people that they go down, they really need to sit there for 5 minutes or 10 minutes, but they pop right back up and they, you know, and it's like, you should have stopped. You should have waited, you know.
Yes,
so
sir.
There's a balance to that.
Yes,
all right,
sir.
Next one.
I had a question and then there's one more. But basically, there have been times where it's like it seemed like if I've gotten out of my head and I'm not in my head, I've not necessarily sensed, there have been moments where I haven't like felt the power of God tangibly, but I also haven't had the leading, like, you need to fall. I just haven't necessarily in my head or in my flesh sensed a whole lot. And in that moment, like you've laid hands on me or someone else has laid hands on me, and then you've moved on. And then I've had the thought come up like, should I have fallen, like on purpose? And it's almost seemed like on the other end, I've thought, I didn't fall. I didn't even think to make myself fall. So I must not have been yielded and like, oh, shoot. And I've had the temptation to come up, the thought come up, if I don't fall every time, then I'm not yielding and I need to go the extra mile and to yield. But I'm assuming that's not right either.
Well, listen to how you just described it. And I cannot tell you how much I appreciate this question, because I think this could be a lot of people's question. But listen to what you just said. I was sitting up there and then I thought, right? That's the problem. Just receive. I did it right. I did it wrong. Okay, let the Holy Ghost talk to you about it. Is it your thinking or is it the Holy Ghost speaking to you about it? A lot of times that's coming out of condemnation, trying to get you into, you know, trying to get you to think it out and let your brain be your source instead of you just saying, hey, did God tell me? Like, here's the thing. If God told you to fall and submit, then you would know that. You wouldn't be having to think, oh, was I supposed to do that? So the whole point of, oh, was I supposed to do that? And all you got to do in that moment is say, Lord, if I was supposed to do that, show me, and I'll get better at that later. And then that's done. There's no more thought past that. No condemnation. The Lord will show you what you need. What are you laughing at?
I've done that, but I've also done it on the other side of the spectrum.
Yeah.
going to lay hands on somebody. Lord, how do I need to lay hands on? Like, begin to overthinking that. So not only on the receiving end, but also the receiving to get to impart. I've done that on both ends. It is just that's a good question, because I know a lot of people.
Yeah, it is. I've done it. I did it for years and years. And most people, I think, do that. And they're overthinking stuff, and they don't need to. They just need to just yield. Like, it's, again, going back to the phone. Like, would the phone be sitting, if the phone was sitting here and yielding to me, it's waiting on my command, would the phone be sitting there thinking, oh, should I, you know, be flipped upside down on my face? Oh, should I put myself in my owner's pocket? No, the phone's not going to be doing that. The phone's going to be waiting for that command from the Holy Ghost and then just being obedient to whatever that is. That's yielded, right? That's submitted. Think about how much we're like making up and how much that's getting in the way. And it's a lot. And so that is a great question. And yeah, trust me, Margie, when I say you're not the only one who's had that. I've had to do that. I've had to put that down. And I have to continuously put those things down. All right.
Hannah had a question, and it was kind of answered, but just in case there's anything more you had to ask.
Who had a question?
Hannah.
Oh, no, we're not taking that one. Just kidding. Go ahead.
In case there was anything else to add to it, she said, should we be submitting any requests on Sundays at the altar, or simply just yielding and trusting he's got it handled?
Like prayer requests, hey, I need prayer for this. You can do that. It depends on how that minister is flowing. Like if you're, basically you should come up there with the idea, I need answers to this, and then let the minister be led by God on how to deliver that. Sometimes the minister will say, what do you need? Mm-hmm. Then you tell them. Sometimes the minister will just say, in the name of Jesus, right? And lay hands, or just lay hands on you. If that's the case, then whatever it is you were believing for, believe that you have received it in that transfer. You don't need to tell them what it is. God knows what that is. He's delivering it to you in that. So it really is based on how the minister acts. If he comes up and says, what is it that you need? Then that's what you do. If he doesn't ask that, then you receive what you need. Even if he says, in the name of Jesus, healing be in this body, and you need finances, then you say, Lord, I receive healing in my finances too. Thank you. I have it now. Amen. You receive it all, because in that name, I've seen so many times where people get prayed for one thing and multiple things get healed, because the name is big enough to handle it all. And so our faith should be that when that impartation is released, I receive it for everything that I need right now. And now in personal, like for example, throughout the week, you got something you need prayer for, send it to your life group leader. Send it to your pastor if you're sending them directly to your pastor. In Boomerang, we're not doing that. You can send it to the life group. Everybody should send it to their life group leaders. So if they're sending it to the life group leaders, then you do that, and you can name that, get the prayer of agreement over that. They are your elders in that sense. So, amen.
Pastor, something you said, just to reiterate, is when you come up there, you may be ready to receive, but a lot of times, like I know I've done this in the past, I come up with that specific thing in mind. Just to reiterate what Pastor said, I know he answered it, but we come up thing and we're like, what you said, like, healing in the body. Well, there's like, oh, he didn't say healing in finances, so there's no supply for that. No, there's a supply for that, especially where it says in Jesus' name, that covers all of it. But a lot of times we come up and if like, oh, well, Pastor didn't, I had this issue that was like my arm was hurting, but Pastor didn't pray for that, then that means I'm still having to seek that. No, when you go up and he prayed for you, anything that you need was released in that moment. Like that's one of the things like in the past I failed at. I felt like I needed to be specific to the situation that I was that I was believing God for, instead of just receiving it for what it was.
Yeah, I can receive so much. Everything's in that name. Everything we need is in Him. Used to, I would like feel like I had to pray for each person, every individual thing. Nah, you don't have to do that. In the name of Jesus. Now, there's a time to do it, and the Lord will show you when to do that. He'll prompt you in your spirit, not just in your head. He'll prompt you. And that's why we have that fellowship with him. So, yeah, amen. I saw Shanae's comment. I get it. I understand. Amen. Did we have anything else, Sparky?
No. No, sir.
Amen. Well, this has been a great day. I hope you've learned about being slain in the spirit and falling out and how to go through that properly and receive properly. And we love you so much. And Gloria, what in the world is up with your name? Gloria Haywood Duffelnevich.
Speaking in tongues.
And Gloria was changing her name on YouTube. And she was like, Gloria Haywood, and fell asleep. And just hit a bunch of different keys. I saw that earlier in the middle of the broadcast. I was like, what in the world?
When I went to say her name, I was like, I'm not going to try to pronounce that. I'm just going to keep going.
She said something earlier. I think she had a testimony earlier about since she's come to Boomerang. And what'd she say?
She said since she's come to Boomerang, what she's had revelation on is that she knew the basics. But now she's starting to see that she's starting to see all she didn't know. It was a great testimony.
That's awesome. Emily said something at the beginning, right when you first started talking. She said, what'd you get out yesterday? You said, what'd you get out yesterday? Emily said something. What did Emily say? She posted some comment. I wanted to go back. You read it, but...
I haven't remembered at the moment. I apologize.
If anybody remembers that, let me see. That's fine. All right, we love you, and thank you for hanging out with us today. I know today was longer, and we're going to give it here to Marky to wrap it up. Love you. We'll see you tomorrow.
If the Lord is leading you to sow into the Word today, you can go to giveww.org. There are multiple different ways that you can give, different platforms there that you can that allow you to give at, you know, at just making it easy for you. And we want to bless that seed right now. So, Father, in the name of Jesus, we call every seed that is sown today blessed, pressed down, shaken together, running over, coming back into their lives at a good measure. In Jesus' name, amen. We thank you so much for joining the broadcast today. This was an awesome on-time word. If you know of anybody who has any of these questions, feel free to send it to them. On YouTube, you can make playlists too for yourself. So this may be a good one just to save because this is a very specific question that you may want to go back to. I know I'll probably do that because it's a good one. But anyway, we want to tell you about a couple events coming up pretty soon. We have the financial breakthrough meetings coming up May 4th through the 7th. It's going to start Sunday night and go until Wednesday in the evenings and then on Lunch Plus in the mornings. Make sure to register for that so we can plan on how many people we're going to have and also so that we can get you the information that you need. If you're registered, you'll have more information. We also want to let you know about our partners camp meeting coming up in just a few months. It's really not very far away, August 6th through the 8th. And we want to encourage you, even if you are not signed up to be a partner, you are still welcome to come and be in these meetings. We actually encourage people, if you don't really know why would I be a partner? What does this ministry do? That's a great time to come so that we can share vision for the ministry and you can learn, should you not be a partner? It's a great time to just to come and see the vision of the ministry as well, but also just to receive. It's going to be a powerful time of just pouring into our partners, pouring into people in a very special way. Last year was our first one, so we're excited to have our second one this year. We also want to let you know, of course, every morning at 6 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, we have Front Lines Prayer. It has been powerful. What a day. What a way to start off your day. It's been awesome, and we have so enjoyed you being on there and adding your supply. So if you're looking for a way to have more prayer in your life, to be flowing in the things of God more, we encourage you to come on that broadcast at 6 a.m. every weekday. We'd love to have you there. But for now, it's time to say bye. I know we've spent the afternoon together, but it's time to say bye. But you can, of course, watch other broadcasts of ours if you would like. And we will see you tomorrow at 6 a.m. and then at noon, again, Eastern Standard Time. But we love you. Have a great rest of your day, and we'll see you later.
Never, 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 never